So episode 22 of No Shame here on the No Shame couch in the Lima powered studio here at SBG Dublin 24. Can't believe we're at the getting to episode 22 already.
You're flying, 22, Paddy.
22 hours of talking shit.
It's so working.
I have Alex Needham in with me today. Alex is a sports
guy. All right, guys.
This is the guy. He knows what he's doing. So the idea is to get Alex in here today, is to debrief a lot of myths. And for a lot of guys, that would be, say, amateur MMA or amateur Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or even amateur boxing, kickboxing. The idea of cutting weight, what the benefits are, what the negatives are, the idea of water loading, tricks to get your weight down, how to do it safely, how to feel like you're when you're a piece of shit and you're cutting weight and you're drained and you're wrecked, how to get yourself back to being revived again. But this is the man for the question. I'm going to go through some of the questions that have gone through. But anyway, I'll let Alex know. How did you get into this?
Perfect.
Telling people what to eat and eating food.
Well, that's one hell of an introduction, so I better back it up now. Well, firstly, thanks for having me on here, Paddy. And what my story is, I used to really struggle with my weight all through my childhood, teenage years. And then I lost 4 stone in a year and then just all of a sudden became fascinated by it, by the
obsessed.
Fitness. Obsessed. Yeah. Obsessed is the word lazy people use for the dedicated.
100%.
So I try and use it in a way that...
And talented is the one they use for the skillful.
Yes, I like it, exactly. But I fell in love with it then and I decided that's it, I want to make it my career path. So I worked in Aberystwyth in Wales, doing my first degree in sport and exercise science.
How did that go? That's an experience in its own, living in Wales.
It was cracking. Well, to be honest, I never got the points for Sligo is the true answer. That's why I ended up going across the way. So it kind of landed on my lap as
the language and stuff like that. How did that go?
It was brilliant. Like, so I was just known as Irish, so region? I just the first name there.
He's the Irish lad. He's all right.
Red-haired lad.
He's kind of one of us. He's like a cousin.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like one of us.
No, it went brilliant. It taught me the science of exercise and the science of performance as well. And then towards the end of that, you kind of find out where do I want to go from here. And nutrition was the answer after that for me. And I became a dietitian, worked for the NHS for 2 years. And then
that's,
I said...
an experience in itself as well, I'd say.
Absolutely. What really was.
Is there a huge difference between the NHS and the HSE?
The HSE. Well,
this is a man on the inside. He's going to tell us.
This is all live, isn't it? Yeah. Well, to be honest, I haven't had that much dealing with the HSE. Touch wood, haven't been that sick, you know, when I've been back home. So
probably why you're still alive.
Yeah. Although my sister Danny does work in the HSE and does a charity.
Does, so Danny as well. Danny is a professional, yeah, she?
Danny's about to go pro.
Danny's another story, and she was on one of the podcasts, so if you check that out, Danny lost mad weight as well. And I've got a question actually here that's going to link in with that in a second. But anyway, Danny Nealon is a legend. Check
big
out
shout
podcast
out to her.
Danny.
I'm very proud of her. She's onto her own.
And so Danny works the HSE. He works.
I used to work in the NHS, so two health services.
Control. That's good control.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, it's good to help people, and you got to always think about the reasons why we're doing this. And that is a lot of the reasons why I got into the NHS in a caring profession. And while I enjoyed it, I found that my biggest want was to actually work with people who are able to communicate back with me a lot more, rather than people who are gravely ill in beds, for example.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You would have done stuff like going around hospital wards. And
exactly.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. So acute community as well. So I had a little Ford Fiesta and I went around. A little 400-pound
car.
Yeah, exactly. I went around to different clinics.
You weren't that guy that comes off to people at like 8 o'clock in the morning though, were you, in bed and wakes them up and asks them, were you?
No, they had to come to me. So I had the old clinic at Lee. It wasn't home visits.
See
so
that guy? I swear, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like them guys.
Oh God, I
everybody
hear
hates them guys. Yeah. The guy that comes at 8 o'clock in the morning and wakes you up. Are you all right? Yeah, I'm sound. Get away in my bed.
No, I was safe enough. I left them alone, if they wanted to do it. But then I said, you know what, that's it, I'm young, I want to go travelling. So I went across to Canada and I said I want to see the world. Lived in Toronto for a year.
Oh, sound.
And loved that, seen like...
Canada's a great spot, isn't it?
Oh, the scenery is glorious.
They're only missing about the poutine.
The poutine, yeah, your chips, cheese, bacon, all that.
Cheese, have you ever had poutine?
No.
Have you ever had poutine?
I heard about it, I want it.
Chips, big lumps of cheese. I lost weight on poutine, you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
We're going to have a little talk about that as well. So, it's matter you
that's
touched
interesting
on that.
But yeah, Vancouver was amazing too. I went across the way.
Well,
have you? Yeah. Oh, brilliant, Paddy.
On Marine Drive.
I was on Sunset Beach, so quite close to you.
I trained in. I won a gold medal at the Canadian, not the BC Open or something over there in Jiu Jitsu.
Jesus.
Years and years and years ago. It was a great spot. Granville is where he used to train.
Granville. The main road. Yeah, main I think road, it's Lions Gym or something like that. It was
used to, that links into like Hastings.
Yeah.
You know, see that? That's an experience. That's a place, isn't it?
We stayed in a hostel in Granville for like the first month, me and my sister, like, when we were there.
I know the one you're on about. That's facing an Irish pub.
Yeah, yeah.
We know it.
We stayed there for like the first month.
There's a place called Hastings right in Vancouver, and they ran out money in the mental institution, the mental hospital on the street. And they just put all the patients out onto the street, and everyone just took up crack. Swear to God. Have a look, and if you have Google Hastings, yeah? Down Jeez. There, and like going through on the bus, like it's mad. It's like people with trolleys running around, like clucking off their head, man. Sitting there on the side of the street, it's mental. I can't believe it. One of the boys said to me, because we was over like with a load of like Irish, and we were on a group.
Yeah,
and he turned around and he said, "Paddy, there's a street called Hastings. Get a bus through it. It's deadly." You know what I mean? I was like, "Why?" And then I'm going through, and I'm like, oh, he wasn't lying. There's people everywhere. I'm not messing. And it's just a bad street. You wouldn't walk through it. You'd be robbed, you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just this little Vancouver.
There we go.
Flashback that came there really quick. How did you end up in Vancouver?
Basically, I said I want to see as much of Canada and America as I can. So I did New York loads of times. I was Boston for Paddy, of course.
You
I was there
that.
For you. So
oh, you
I was
there for that
MMA,
one, weren't you?
My first ever MMA fight.
Mad experience, that, wasn't it?
Jesus Christ.
20,000 in that bleeding thing. That
it was some. Even the Irish were just taking over in there. Like.
That was the whole town was Irish that day.
It was electric.
That was crazy out there. People were coming up speaking to us in full Gaelic. Like, do you I'm like, shot.
It's funny. It was one of my best
mates. Wait, you can't speak Irish.
Yeah, but you get expected, don't you, with the red hair and the beard.
Especially me, they expect me to piss Guinness.
I'm still working on mine, so don't judge
you
know me.
I'll give you some beard tips, you give me nutritional tips.
There we go, the exchange. So I was over there, and while I loved it, loved the travelling scene, I wanted to stay in touch with all the nutrition stuff and obviously exercise as well. So I did a personal training course there, and I also did a lot of voluntary work with teenagers and kids in baseball, ice hockey, helping them get to where they want to get in their sports nutrition. And I was working full time in a bar, and I was in the bank randomly, and they ask you one of these random security questions, like, what's your dream job, your dream career? And I stopped for a minute and I'm like, well, it's not currently what I'm doing. So booked flights that night, flew back to Edinburgh, hadn't lived there for 18 months, and said, I'm going to start up a business as a sports dietitian. I enrolled in a course with the International Olympic Committee, which was an MSc in sports nutrition, and I finished that now. And that allowed me to work with athletes on a professional level. And now I'm honestly living my dream career, and I couldn't be happier.
That in itself is a great story. Is the idea of, I think a lot more people need to find out what they're doing. Now what you're doing is when I say to people, like chase your dream, do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, well, we all can't be dreamers. Like I've met people that have said like I'd love to be a bin man.
Yeah,
you know, I'd love to try being a bin man. You know, and that's all cool, but it has to be something. Like, you said it yesterday. You touched on it. I think you said it straight away when you did like that little bit of a seminar here.
Yeah.
What was the first thing you said about if you're not happy?
If you're not happy with what you're doing, you got to change it now, because you can very easily fail in something that you really don't enjoy. So if you're going to fail in something you love.
Fail in something you like. You might as well fall into bleeding strawberries rather than sugar.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you find true pride in your work. And let's face it, most of our adult life is going to be working. So you want to bloody enjoy it. Like, you know, it's pretty depressing life if you don't.
No,
so
I do agree.
Take the leap.
My job is running around the match trying to strangle people, play Xbox occasionally. I think I'm 12, really.
Yeah, but look at the head in them. He's smiling nonstop.
I'm about 12, really.
It's the personification of happy right here to my right.
So a few things are the questions that I wanted to go through with you. So the first one would be, what's it like to have a sister that fucking bad to you? You know, I'm saying that from the point of view of somebody that I do know the answer to the question, because I happen to have a sister that I used to bat to.
Are you serious?
Are you the older or the younger?
I'm the older one by 2.5 years.
I was the younger by about 3.5 years.
It's even an excuse, you see.
So I've just been
at the start.
The
I used to
years,
pretend
years.
And say, "Oh, don't worry, like, it could go either way," but now as she's getting so much better, I'm like, oh, I better learn to accept this, hadn't I?
100%, you have to accept that. Because
so
Danny is an animal.
She's a little monster.
Monster.
But I'm taking some credit too. Like, I used to like throw her down the stairs as a kid, push her off the bike, toughen her up from a young age.
Of course, yeah.
And obviously, it's standing to her today. So rather than go against it, I'm going to roll with resistance here. So I am.
A question I'd have to ask you about. Say if we see a family, right, and I can see that. Say one of them is out of shape. Usually I can look at the family and I can kind of see the same shape in every single member.
Yeah.
So, and touching on the idea of that, you're overweight, Danny would have been overweight.
Yeah.
Do you, did that happen from, like, what's the simple mistakes and holes that people can fall into? Without even sports nutrition, I'm on about the woman going to the school with the kid, where a kid doesn't know really what to give him in the morning rather than like a big sugary breakfast. And I'm the same. Like, I'm like, get that into you. And he's like, I don't want to eat this, Dan. I'm shoving shreddies or whatever. Yeah. You know, because he has to eat something, you know.
How it generally happens, people say it's genetics, it's due to, oh, my whole family's been big or my whole family's
struggled. All of these myths. What is this like?
There's a lot of myths to it. There's a certain aspect to genetics leading to someone finding it more difficult to lose weight or stay of a healthy weight. But 9 times out of 10, it's due to the environment. It's due to the environment of portion sizes, what your family's used to having, whether you're used to being brought Devon takeaways the weekend more often, whether or not you're really encouraged to have vegetables on a more regular basis, whether you're encouraged to be active or sit on the couch for 2 to 3 hours a day. It's the environment you're brought up in that makes a big, big change and a big, big difference. And sadly, nowadays, we live in a very obesogenic environment. Everything is fast, everything is quick. You look at the aisles in Tesco, all of the offers and the cheap foods are on the ends and generally are high calorie in biscuits, sugars, cakes. And there's so many marketing tricks these companies use to make you think that actually they're healthy, they're healthful. Like, there can be the low-fat yogurts, which can be high in sugar. They can have
the low-fat diet, high sugar. Is that what it is? You say do a low-fat diet and high sugar. To me, that's alien.
It comes down to calories.
High-fat, low-sugar.
Well, I always say go to calories, because if you go for a low-calorie food, it has to be low in sugar and in fat.
Okay.
So rather than one or the other. And they use terms like it's fresh, it's green, you know, it's ways of giving you the idea that it's healthy, or even having green on the labels. So they use a lot of great marketing tricks to make you think it can be healthy. And even per serving size as well. As I mentioned last night, like a portion of cornflakes is 30 grams. Have you ever looked at 30 grams of cornflakes? I could inhale more than that and I wouldn't notice it, you know? So just be wary of that.
So the idea of, say that, so someone going to, say, getting up in the morning and just living their life. So a mother that's trying to go out of the house and eat, she's trying to eat healthy.
Yeah.
So, she's starting off the day right and trying to feed a kid healthy. And what's two really good things? You mentioned the great snack yesterday, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have one of them. A chicken fillet wrap with cranberries.
Yeah.
And when you explain cranberries and all, we'll go into cranberries as that the superfood that you're talking about, like, and what, how good it is for replenishing, for weight cuts and snacking and stuff. But when you said that, I was like, that sounds lovely. Isn't that lovely, isn't it? Cranberries, chicken fillet in a wrap.
I don't know what I'm getting for lunch.
People think it has to be like plain, boring food. You can do that, but I guarantee you won't do it for very long. Or if you do, you'll be bloody miserable.
Exactly. Yep.
So it's about trying to find foods and recipes that are actually healthy, but also are sustainable, that you enjoy. Like, eating is one of my favourite things to do in the world. So I'm going to damn right make sure I enjoy what I eat. That's what you have to get right.
I do agree with that. When I first started cutting weight, I remember I was told, listen, if it's chicken, if it's white meat and it's green, you can eat it. Anything else, don't eat it. And for about, I'd say, a month or two, I ate like chicken and greens. Nothing else. So I was eating broccoli for breakfast. I was eating that. I didn't need to lose weight, but I was ripped. My energy was low. It was it wasn't good information. You know what I mean? It was very, it was about 10% of the real. If you're going to do this, but you have to do this as well as that. You can't just go and do that. So what I noticed, if somebody goes on like a diet, a family does, so say you get somebody's, right, we're going to get fit, they all start losing weight together and it becomes easy together. Right,
and it's that community that you create and you're getting support from your family members as well. So it's great to have people at home that are actually going to help you, that are going to be there with you along the way. It doesn't have to be all at once. It doesn't have to be right. We're going completely strict. We're going to have a lean eating. That's not sustainable. It has about making individual changes that you're willing to make. Individual changes that are going to give you gradual results, but sustainable results, which is more important. As they say, the best diet is the one you can stick to, not the one that can last for a month or so.
This is the truth, because I think people that know nothing, but people that don't know anything put a lot of pressure on themselves. For people that don't, like, I get guys come to the gym, right, I'm going to come 5 days a week, and I'm like, listen, don't. Because if you come you commit to 5 days a week in your head and you only make 3 of them, you're going to get a negative effect.
Absolutely.
Because you feel like you're missing 2. When you're not, you're actually probably doing 1 too many.
I use that a lot in terms of SMART goals. So they have to be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant and timed.
Obtainable. And obtainable.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can, the same kind of thing. So that way you're not going to set yourself up for a failure. You want to have goals that are challenging, but not going to actually test you too much in that respect. In terms of what you're saying with the family and making changes that can help, The inclusion of fruit or veg with every meal, that one change alone can make a huge, huge, huge difference.
Is the radio someone up there?
Yeah.
Keep it down!
I was Shazamming the tune there to see what it was.
To see what it was, were you?
No.
I can hear the tune trickling through the wall there for a second. Yeah. Down there and down there.
That went right over my head.
Do you know what time it is?
Do you know what time it is?
Yeah.
deadly, deadly. But you told him, listen, shut the fuck up.
Turn it off. Danny's going to kill you.
Tune that off. And now the story. When doing the podcast, no radio was on in the gym at the time. Exactly. So, that the idea of a family losing the weight together, if they have the community, it is a lot easier because there's nothing worse than that fuck over the chip in your face. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, rubbing it in, making it more.
And the thing is about that guy, like, it's a bit of crack. It is funny. But, listen, then they start turning into that person that's trying to take away something that you're trying to do to better yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I look at that. When people go, we're cutting weight, and do you want a burger? And it is funny. It is funny for a day or two. And then it's like, do you know what? You're now becoming that person that if I was trying to quit drugs or drink or something, that's like, do you want a drink?
Does he not realise you're a fighter? Like, I don't know why.
You know what I'm saying? I know people that I would train as well would be the same way of like, such and such a home does this, and it's like, why would someone do that to somebody?
I think why people do that, in my opinion, is that if someone sees someone making changes for the better, healthy changes, they try and knock what you're doing to make them feel more acceptable about what they're doing is the right thing.
Yeah.
So they don't feel guilty themselves. So you will come along that resistance in every way, I think, in work, also in eating healthier. But just learn that it's part of the road. You know, it's a sign that you're doing well. It's a sign of success.
That's it's a growth of human. That's what
exactly.
I'm saying.
Exactly.
If you start realising that people are starting, that you are really, really, say, good with or friendly with, start going against you or start trying to do stuff to kind of make you feel like you shouldn't be doing that, you're probably doing the right thing.
Probably doing the right thing.
And they probably weren't the right friend at the start then anyway, to be
honest.
You're
going to face resistance.
Yeah, face resistance. So a few of the stuff that you were saying about marketing. So I know for a fact that you go into the shop, now it's like, it's gluten free. It's now, when I first started, I had actually had a very clever when I started realizing about this stuff. With a very clever teacher in school, and he was smart. Now he was a bit of a bollocks, but he was smart, right? And I remember him first kind of copying me onto this when he was going on about the paleo diet and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I first found the paleo diet, I was like, this is it. That's, you know, there's no one else. Go like a caveman. So we shouldn't have been eating wheat. We shouldn't have been eating gluten. We shouldn't have been. And the idea was that he was saying, like, do you understand that if the whole world went, like, so a paleo diet would be only eating what a caveman could eat. If it didn't grow or if it didn't have oils, and there's a certain few rules, isn't there, in it?
Yeah. So basically, if it's not an animal or it didn't grow, don't eat it.
Yeah, paleolithic is what they...
My arguments against that would be, look at the life expectancy of someone who lived in the prehistoric times. Look at the life expectancy of us now.
And this was a question there. So who would... Does it extend your life?
I think that there are certain aspects of the paleo diet that I massively agree with. It completely discourages refined foods. It goes for single ingredient foods, which is brilliant. But there are also some things that I wouldn't agree with. Like, it takes out dairy. So it's taken out a fantastic source of calcium as well. And calcium has so many benefits for your bone health, also for your ability to absorb vitamin D, and for your ability to contract muscle as well. So unnecessary restrictions, I think, are a big, big downfall nowadays in the world of nutrition. Gluten is a huge one. Removing gluten from your diet is completely unnecessary if you've not been diagnosed with an intolerance.
This is where this came from, isn't it? It's like the celiac thing.
People,
and
jump
as I
into
said,
it.
The paleo thing just before, they couldn't even get you onto the gluten because they want to stay on the protein idea, because protein would be a higher protein diet.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of protein being for the poor, that's now another big myth where young fellas are like sticking chicken fillers, like bleeding up their nostrils.
Blending them,
you know,
and drinking
what I mean?
Them.
Like, yeah, whatever, because it's like, gotta get me protein. And it's I know a lot of people that'd be like, I'd ask them, what does protein do? And what does that become? And they have not got a baldy. They just seen it on the poster and they're just going for it. So the idea with the paleo diet, what I was saying is, the world couldn't sustain itself on a paleo diet anyway, because we'd run out of meat very quick, and we'd run out of greens very quick. And the idea of wheat becoming maybe one of the top things on the pyramid, the food pyramid, is to do with, this is what I said, the teacher told me, is to do with companies in that are paying a lot of money to governments and stuff like that through tax, are pushing that up on the scale, because they can now mass produce breads and pastas and all of this stuff from this. But it's about spraying a big population of people, and that's where it gets put up onto the
pushed pyramid. For marketing reasons. That's really interesting, and you'll see it in other ways as well. But there is a lot of work being put to reverse that. Like, I know over in the UK, they're encouraging, like, free fruit and veg being given to people at work and businesses.
Oh, it's a great idea.
Also free fruit for children in schools, so getting them early and encouraging these healthy aspects, healthy life. In terms of your fruit and veg, they should be your staple. They should be massively what you're basically eating on. Excuse me. Like, if you look at the usual 5 a day recommendation, we need a lot more than that, depending on the size of the person. That is a generalization of someone who is on a 2,000 calorie diet, who is like a middle-aged woman. If you're active, if you're 100 kilos, if you're an athlete, if you're a rugby player, you should be looking at 10, 12 portions of fruit and veg a day. So if you base your intake around fruit and veg, that one change alone can make a massive difference.
You just, every time you find a bit of fruit, eat it. Bring it, stack it, put it in your... I seen a great thing, pockets being called snack holes.
Snack holes, I love it.
Put them in your pockets. Put them
the storage and like... Well, again, more isn't always better though. So if you were to overeat on bananas...
What did Shane say?
Less is more.
Less is more. I like it. Like, slow down to speed up. I like that one too. So if you eat too much bananas or too much donuts, either or, if it's too much and it means that you're eating more than you're burning off, you will gain body fat. Doesn't matter if it's chicken breasts or fruit. So it's important to bear that in mind. There's always going to be a ceiling with everything. If you eat vegetables more often because they're so low calorie, you can really struggle to eat more calories with that than you would be working off, if that makes sense.
Because you're already full.
Yeah, so it's called meal displacement. You fill up on lower calorie foods. With the fruit, it gets massive bad rap in the media as well for being high in sugar.
Yeah.
But there's so many benefits of fruit. Antioxidants, microvitamins, there's so many that can really, really help you. Your micronutrients, that's going to help you recover, your immune system, and of course muscle function as well, and your metabolism. So there are a lot of things to be taken into account for that.
The thing we never understand is when they take stuff out of food, how did he charge them all for it?
Reduced it out.
In Ireland, Paddy, they charge you for everything.
They turn around and go, this is an organic carrot. It's I want €2 more for it. It's like, but you put less into it, mate. You didn't even have to put all that stuff into the soil to make it grow faster.
Oh, it reminds me of my mother. Oh, it's an organic turkey. A turkey that's been cuddled and loved all its life and eventually slaughtered.
Like, how do you make organic? Like, you run in and give a turkey a cuddle. It's like, it's not organic. You know what I mean?
People push this a lot. There are obviously some benefits, and of course, as well, for the well-being of the animal. But it can be pushed and marketed so much further than it needs to be.
It really does. So that would be the paleo diet, on the idea of being a high protein diet. The last part of that I want to this myth, if you must, is why are guys strapping chicken fillets to themselves that absorb them? Because I see guys out there, they're nearly drowning themselves in protein shakes.
Yeah.
He said right after training they're still on the machine.
Smash it.
Is there a mad rush? And you said something yesterday about protein, that your body can only use so much of it in any way.
Any excess goes to body fat.
If
you're taking protein shakes, or if you're supplementing on chicken breasts almost to an excess, have a think. Where did you actually hear that information? Was it from some guy in the gym that you've seen who's got big biceps, so automatically he must be doing it?
Or the special stuff, of course.
Special K. Or is it on the label of a supplement company where you've seen big biceps beside a protein shake? There is certainly a ceiling to it. Okay, so protein requirements will vary depending on the individual's goals and, of course, on their size. More certainly is not better. If you have excess protein, it will lead to excess body fat. It's excess calories.
So if you eat 10 chicken fillets and drink 27 buckets of protein, you're just going to get fat and not big.
Well, straight enough, to be honest. Because people say you pee it out. You do pee out nitrogen. It gets increased. But that doesn't mean they're not taking in the calories. So more calories equals to more body fat if you're going over a surplus.
I try to explain to people, it's like a tax.
Yeah.
If you eat it, you must pay it. You know what I mean? You must work it off. And what happens is people say, they every day goes by and say 100 calories tax they owe.
Yeah,
if you do that in a week, that's 700 calories tax you owe. If you do it in 2 weeks, it's 1,400. And it goes 2,100. You've got a day after 3 weeks of eating extra in 3 weeks. So 21 days, but you've actually ate for 22.
I'll give you an example. So if you were to have a chicken and stuffing sandwich, about 500 calories, and you were to have that in excess of what you need to maintain your weight. So if you had 500 calories extra every day for a week, you're looking to gain about 1 kilogram. Okay? So look at that for the space of a year, 50. What you could gain. You're not going to go 52 kilograms because all of a sudden your body's requirements will go up.
Yeah.
You'll get used to having more food, but you will gain very quickly. It goes up very, very quickly.
You gain 20 kilo in a year if you eat 500 a day. Actually.
Well, if you keep going above your basal metabolic rate, which is what you need to maintain your weight, then yes, it will keep going up. But the tricky thing is about it, as you gain weight, your calorie requirements also increase. So it's not completely linear, but it will go up, it'll plateau. Then if you increase your intake more, it'll go up again and plateau. It's the same with the weight loss. If you cut your intake by 500 calories, you're not going to lose weight till nothing left of you. You're not going to go down to zero.
Yeah.
You'll eventually plateau, you'll balance off, and then you need to make another client-centered change or a change you're willing to make to come down again with the calories.
So your body kind of adjusts.
It adjusts, yeah.
It adjusts and gets smarter. Look, and some people doesn't. Some people just go straight. So the gluten thing as well. So that's the protein. So you go into a shop and you see, wow, it's got like it's got protein in it. It's an egg. I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, but it doesn't even have egg on the box anymore. It has protein.
Yeah. So what I mean? They sell it. You see the protein milks, protein shakes.
The soda boosters. It's like,
yeah.
We now only sell protein. Where's the meat gone?
They jump into it.
It's the same thing. So it's the same idea. It's the same. Just eat well. Eat meats. You don't need to have a special word in front of it that makes you eat more of it and at a certain time, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I will say, like, nowadays, Fair Play to Ireland is really catching up in terms of what's available in these shops.
Yeah.
People are becoming much more health conscious. Even last night, me and the girlfriend, Babs, we were in a Thai restaurant. I think it was Cumin or Camin down there.
I know the one, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And they have the calorie requirements on all the Thai foods that you have there. So you can actually choose a healthier choice while eating out. And it doesn't have to be a miserable food. It doesn't have to be a miserable meal. You can really enjoy it.
But that's the urge, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Tommy Tiernan has a great thing about when the boom was on. It's like, skiing, I'll fucking try that. You
know yeah.
What I mean? He's like down to Aldi to get the ski uniforms. You know what I mean? At the top of the slopes, all the French like, ah! That's
yeah.
Like, but that's what we're in there, like with the gluten free and the stuff like that. Yeah, it's like a going treadmill. They don't waver at the speed. They just go, you know what I mean?
Something that's new, they think, oh my God, it must be the magic pill. It must be something that's going
to
really,
and
really, really
the people, it's funny because I do laugh at it. The gluten thing, as I'm saying. Everyone's like, oh, it's gluten free. Like, what's going on here with the gluten free? Look, and how does a pizza all of a sudden become gluten free? Or did you just discover that it was always gluten free? You were always eating gluten free. Now they just realise that you'll buy it because they put gluten free on it.
They can basically take the gluten out of the dough, for example. That's how they do that.
And what's gluten in itself? Gluten is an actual.
Gluten is a
like
protein.
Flour. It's like flour, isn't it?
It's a protein,
it?
Yeah. So you find it in wheat, oats, barley, and rye. So by taking it out, you're actually removing something from the food. So it's an unnecessary restriction. But like, this thing about being gluten free, go for it. Lead, titanium, and cocaine are also gluten free. I don't eat them that often, so I don't. So why people jump in is always going to be something that is always beyond me.
That's mental, isn't it? Just don't be saying that to the boys.
That's gluten free. You wouldn't chew on that, would you?
There'd be boys rocking around hills in the States now. Gluten free! Gluten free! You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's crazy, even to think of itself. Like,
I know. But like, know I mean? In fairness to Ireland, like, you can see more protein bars in shops now. And although they're not necessarily necessary in many ways, I'd rather see someone go to a protein bar with some nutrients than a Mars bar or a Twix, for example.
Yeah.
You know.
Here's the thing as well, what you said yesterday about the... hold on, I'm losing them in my head here. Chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Chocolate milk. When you hear this.
So chocolate milk is kind of almost the gold standard or the go-to for a really convenient recovery drink. Because I'm not saying chocolate go hammered by the litres, by the way, within reason, okay? After no moderation.
I love chocolate milk.
So reason being, it gives you sodium for rehydrating. It gives you protein in the milk. And the sweetener, the flavouring for the chocolate or the strawberry, if it's strawberry milk, gives you sugars to allow you to replenish your glycogen stores, which is another word for the energy in your muscles.
So this is another thing, yeah. So glycogen is basically the energy that your body stores in your muscles. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Because people here, as I said, Irish people, they don't even use words that we all understand. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like in the idea, people are like, my glycogen and my gluten and my and it's like,
yeah,
lost. You know? it is good.
It's your energy in the muscles, and it's convenient. You can pick it up from shops all over the place. You can bring it with you quite easily. I'm not saying go for it all the time, but I'm saying it can be a convenient means of getting yourself right on speed for the recovery very soon after exercise.
Yeah.
It is high in calories though, so do be careful with that. So with some of my clients, I encourage like 300 mils, 400 mils of chocolate milk, after a session, after a training session. It makes them feel like they're not on a diet as well. There's something sweet that they enjoy. And then based around the rest of their meals, they're going to have either fruit or veg, protein sources and carbohydrates based around the training times and spread out evenly over the day as well.
That is deadly, isn't it? Chocolate milk. So we kind of covered, I won't say normal people there, but the idea of, as I said, just average people that, like, right, they look around the family, we're all the same shape.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to kick this in because people, you run out of time, and that's it as well. All of a sudden, you're 40, 50 years of age, and, like, it's very hard to get rid of that weight then, you know?
To be honest, what I aim to do, I aim to support people in nutrition and exercise, but I mainly work with people who don't have much time. Not all of us have time to slave.
And most of them, that's kind of what happens, we find the most, is people.
Exactly.
I know. And doesn't have to be an hour a day, doesn't it? Not even.
Time is the one thing that all of us have the exact same amount of. We've got 168 hours a week, and then we have to prioritise what's most important to us. And I haven't got two kids. I haven't got, like, 15-hour working day where I have to come back and forth with an hour-long commute. I haven't got dependables or dependents at the moment. So I can't say right now, okay, then stop what you're doing. I want you to prepare food every night. I want you to have 7 meals a day. It's about getting the balance right, being able to make it work into your lifestyle, making it convenient, doing meal prepping on the weekends. If you haven't got time for meal prepping, I guarantee you do if you've time.
And
to
if you are meal prepping, don't stick up on your social media because we don't give a fuck.
Hey, look what I had for breakfast, look what I had for lunch. Exactly.
It's mad, but, isn't it?
I know.
Meal prep well ahead. I'm better than you. No, you're not. No, but it is so annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, you're getting the sunshine in everyone's life, aren't you?
But you gotta do, but sometimes people just can't have a shit these days without putting it on online. And that's it, and it's crazy. It actually it's just making social media a little bit, like, weird now, to be
honest.
You know what I mean?
Everything's going on to it.
Yeah, yeah, like, there's no way you took a picture of that and stuck it up.
I suppose, in my opinion, of the social media aspect, it should be a way of connecting to more people. So just bear that in mind. If it's making you connect to more people or disconnect, what is it actually doing for you?
But the people that connect to you on social media as well, okay, it gives people that maybe shouldn't have that much of a reach to connect, you know what I mean? To tell people their opinion. I put a post up the other day about Syria, as I was saying, in support of people not killing people. You know, like, my theory is, and I've said it way back on this one, they were going to Syria again, I said, like, that you can't kill people to say that they killed people to stop them killing people. It's just a big crazy circle, you know what I mean? And of guys saying, like, online, like, literally, like, like, we destroyed them for you and all this, like, so you're welcome. Like, that's
it
people.
Comes down to two wrongs don't make a right, kind of way, you know?
And the idea that if you create the wrongs and then try to claim credit for the rights as well, you know what I mean? That's usual. Because I said, I had a great comment for Anne, I said, sure, what's being rich without being a hero too?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you know, there's lots of ways, in my opinion, of being wealthy, but would you be proud of how you did it? Or that question, what would people say about you at your funeral? I think that's so powerful.
This is
that
this
answers
is great.
So much more. I think that it's not going to say, I met my KPIs at work. It's not going to say, on your gravestone, he was very wealthy. What is wealth if you don't have family and friends and people who would speak highly of you?
No, that is. And I think a lot of that realisation comes through looking after yourself, through diet, through all of this stuff here. The idea of wealth to me would be that, say, Da Vinci or all these guys are still alive. I sat down with a friend, a real good friend that's a priest, and we go at it, you know what I mean?
And
I challenge him and he sometimes he about religion and about what he believe and how can this be true, and he's very, very, very reasonable. The podcast, not last week, the week before I done, was about being on a trip with that a group out in the CC and stuff. But I challenge him with that, and he's very, very rogue priest. He's out there, you know what I mean? But here's two things that he came up with yesterday, right? And we were talking about it. The idea of travelling at time. You were saying there about time. We all don't have the same time.
Yeah.
He's saying that, because I was saying to him, like, so where would heaven be? And where would all this, you know, like, the idea? And he's like, that there's a little point in time that someone said to him. He said that when time is moving, we're always behind the moment now. Where life has started, we're in the moment, yeah? So, and no matter what happens, the clock will still tick around, it'll still tick around. But if we could travel at the same time, the same speed of light, so say our fingers are the speed of light, and we're moving together. So as the clock is turning, we're always on the turn of it. And there's a little moment there that'll only be the only ever moment. that you'll be in.
Can't get it back.
No, you're on the moment. It doesn't go forward and it doesn't go back because you're moving at the exact same time as the moment. If your body was moving at the same time.
Yeah.
And then when life happens is when that drops out of sync. Boom. When you drop into time. And when you drop into time, time starts. And time only ever goes until something is done and mm-hmm. then it catches up again.
Yeah.
And it goes back on the same wave of the ride of time. He was like, well.
That's interesting.
It's only that you mentioned time that it reminded me because I wanted to go, but that's a mad little thing, isn't
yeah.
it? That the travel at the same time of that, does it keep you in a certain moment that there's no past and there's no present. There's just that actual moment until you drop back into time.
That brings me on to like mindfulness, which is something that I really encourage in my clients.
I love mindfulness.
It's fantastic. It's like we're meant to be human beings, not human doings, you know?
Yeah.
We're meant to actually be in the moment a little bit. And we're so busy planning and moving forward and goal setting. When was the last time you set a goal, achieved it, and didn't reward yourself?
Yeah.
You know, go have a pint in the pub. Go sit down. Go turn the phone off, you know? Go do something ridiculous. Go book a holiday. Just do something that makes you happy and celebrate what you've achieved. Because otherwise, what is the point if you're going from goal to goal to goal and you're not stopping a little bit and enjoying your
celebration
life?
Celebration is the human way, you know what I mean, of kind of growth. You get to a point, grow, get to a point and grow. So, so for athletes, so say for amateur athletes and stuff like that, the next 5-10 minutes we'll cover this and then we'll go less kind of like serious stuff. So the idea of water loading, Or no, I'll even start before that. An amateur athlete, what can they cut? They're talking about, and you said this yesterday, I asked you this question yesterday as well. I get guys saying to me, they could be, say, 20% body fat or 30%, you know, chunky, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Soft. You're a little soft there, man. Tony Belly one. So, but still has power, still can fight, but they I know that they could get down to a smaller weight and stuff like that. But then you have guys that are like a rake and they're trying to cut 6 and 7 kilo and they're trying to walk and trying to do all of this stuff together. What is a safe guidance, would you say, that looking in the mirror at yourself and how far left can you go, like how far can you go down kilo wise regarding on, and say three bodies, so say a kind of guy, plump guy that's mm-hmm. soft and then a guy that's lean.
Yeah, so it varies massively between all three, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah, so was it an endomorph, mesomorph and a
endomorph, mesomorph. So this is basically terms used for whether you're tall, thin, whether you're broad.
The shape of your body.
So I don't like using them terms. I wouldn't do it with clients that often because it kind of gives people outs for why they can't achieve their goals or why it's more difficult for them.
It's going back to the genetic thing that you're talking
about. Exactly. The recipe is the same. So it comes down to a calorie deficit. There we go. We're wearing that coffee in a second. So it comes down to a calorie deficit to reduce body fat, a calorie surplus to gain muscle mass. In terms of what you're saying, it has to be individual on how much body fat the person has. There isn't set numbers that are safe. What is the person used to walking around at? What are the body fat levels at the moment? How much can we safely reduce down? What is the time frame to the actual fight? Rapid weight loss is a term used for 5 to 10% weight loss in a week. So that can be extremely dramatic, but it's very common nowadays in MMA, but also in lots of weight cutting sports, in rowing as well. And there's huge, huge negative effects there. There have been several fatalities from rapid weight loss, heart attacks, strokes.
It's great. And the thing we notice about people when they're cutting weight is that they'll do everything but the diet. They're getting the bats. They will sauna it. They will run with black bags on. They will do all this. But when they look at them, they're still very soft. They have lots of body.
Yeah.
Them guys, am I right in saying that they should go back to the idea of getting the body weight off and then start looking at the little tricks of, right, well, I can make 2 kilo. This is where I'm going now. So they have to start from a lean.
100%. Like, to be the best you possibly can, you should dot all the I's, cross all the T's, particularly at an athletic level. So if people are not at an optimal body fat for their sport, then why would they put them through something that's so potentially harmful to their health?
And this is, sometimes you just gotta stand by and watch this happening, you know what I mean? And it's sad, but the idea of you saying there, if you are in a sport and you are chasing, so say if you're an amateur martial artist and you wanna try and make that, you're gonna get about 6 or 7 years to do this. You get 10 in your whole life. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
And then you'll never get the chance again. So for all the times that you don't put the diet in and all the times you don't do the things now, you've missed it. It's gone forever. So 100%. You get a window, and 6 years and 7 years is not a long time when you're talking about you could maybe do something that's going to affect and benefit the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Like, if you really want something, whether it be an athletic goal, whether it be a belt in MMA, put up the reasons why you want that. Put it all over your life. Put it up on your door, your mirrors, put it in the screensaver on your phone.
That mindfulness
remind
again.
Yourself. Exactly. Be aware of what you want. Be motivated for it. And look at ways you can turn your entire day into your gym, not just your hour in here getting absolutely massively up on the technical side with Paddy and learning all the skills with yourself, but bring the same mindset that you bring with your members to outside of the gym.
This is what we always try to install. Like, a lot of the guys are put into scenarios of their head. So this is what's at the happening. You're down two rounds. You've got to win this round.
Yeah.
Or he's taking you down. You've got to take him down. And the idea of adding exercise and the mental thought of a situation and a scenario rather than just like mindless repetitions. Do you get what I mean? But it connects your mind with the actual movement that you're doing.
Your mind-muscle connection.
Mind-muscle connection. And I think that goes back to being very like ancient and genetic, you know what I mean? Where movement, running, hunting, you are mindfully, actively pursuing something if you
like
must.
Practice doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent.
It makes permanent.
Exactly. That's so okay. It moves you forward in terms of just rehearsing. Movement rehearsals constantly, which I'm sure you do in the gym all the time, and you instill that into your members.
Repetition,
into your fight. Repetition.
So the last little one I'll ask you about, like, the water loading. So there's a big myth around, I won't say myth about water, because water loading does work. It worked for me.
And now it's evidence based as well.
It's evidence based as well. This is what you were saying yesterday. So what would they say the formula be for for a guy that'd be listening to this now? So say a guy sitting at home that uses water loading, but I remember I got told by Cottle Pendred how much water I should be drinking.
Yeah.
And Cottle's 90 kilo, you know what I mean? I'm sound, yeah. I drink 9 liters of water, yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm 57 kilo, you know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
And working it out is a great little way. So, I used to say what weight I was trying to make, I'd put a dot in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And that was how much water I had to start drinking.
100%. So, firstly, I'm going to say I'm not a fighter. Absolutely not. And these guys in the labs who are doing all the studies generally are not fighters. So I don't believe it's important to go completely towards the evidence-based or completely towards what people have done for years if it's got adverse effects on your health. Having a compromise, meeting somewhere in the middle if possible. Working with Dani, of course, getting her own weight cuts. We've looked at lots of practicalities of it. If she cuts weight and she gets too light, sometimes she can lose that pop with her boxing.
And would this be the idea of the glycogen? Is that what I'm saying?
So if you're glycogen depleted or you've no energy in your muscles, you lose your ability to react. Right. Your reaction time reduces. But back to the water loading, I've heard of stories of people doing it for 10 days, 2 weeks, huge periods of time, and just generally throwing out a number of litres that you have to consume.
That's what I'm saying.
That is not the best way to do it. So yes, it does work. So last year there was a study based with Louise Burke, who is the queen of sports nutrition, and she pushed forward on how it actually can work and how, despite fighters being ahead of the game and doing it for years, it's now evidence-based. So it doesn't have to be as extreme as that. So it is individual, but as a general rule, if you go 100 mils per kg body weight, so if you weigh 70 kilos, that's 7 litres. Say you're fighting on the Saturday, you're weighing in on the Friday, okay? So you want to have 100 mils per kg body weight on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday.
So 3 days.
3 days is all you need. 3 days. There are no advantages of going any longer than that.
Would it be right in saying that, because people, you throw the water in and then I remember going, why? And I only found out a while later that it increases the chemical in your body that gets you to...
It increases the hormones in your body, which allows you to increase your diuresis or your wanting to urinate.
Yeah.
So you keep peeing and then all of a sudden the day of your weigh-in, and the 24 hours before your weigh-in, you reduce your fluid to 15 mils per kg body weight, but certainly no less
than
a litre. So
that's the important part. The day before your weigh-in...
Yeah.
15 mils
per kg,
body weight. So do the maths on that, and then that's how much water you drink the day before.
So if you're a 100 kilo guy, that's down to 1.5 liters.
1.5 liters.
If you're lighter than that,
and sips
the fluid rather than gulping. Exactly. So when you gulp fluid volume, that leads to you urinating more. So sipping it gradually means you're less likely to flush it out of you faster. And when you have that, when you have your liter, don't be afraid to do mouth rinsing as well. Having a swig, sucking on an ice cube, spitting it out. These are all tricks that, again, I've learned from fighters and from my sister Dani as well. But if you ever feel nauseous, headaches, dizzy, have some fluid. Think of it in the long game. You're here to fight. You're here to achieve a lot in 10 years, 100%. You don't have to sacrifice your health to do that.
Not, it can put a lot of weight on the kidneys. And
absolutely. Massive stress on your kidneys, your heart.
And your body uses energy unit as well. So the idea of water loading as well, I say to people, that as an experience like from doing it, this is what I would say to people. You're going to, sleep is going to be a deficit. Like people think, oh, the water load. And then you have to start thinking of what are you taking? So you're always taking something away.
Yeah.
Because sleep, when you're getting up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet 3 and 4 times, you're missing REM sleep and you're missing.
And that's so important. Like Clyde Williams, who would be the godfather of sports nutrition. I'll never forget, I learned this.
I know my stuff about all the food.
That sounds good. He whispered it.
You come to me today. My daughter's win.
To lose 6 stone.
Yeah, that's what it is. Special girls, yeah. You know what I mean?
So he says that exercise provides a stimulus, but it's the rest that provides the adaptation. If you don't rest, you don't have sleep, you're not going to get them benefits. You're
so
not
that's
gonna,
the cast. That's what molds,
that's
it,
what molds
it
together. And it's so, so important. And if you're putting yourself through this mental gauntlet and physiological gauntlet through lots of different extreme mechanisms of weight cutting, you could really have to question what is the quality of my sleep? How much are you actually resting? So when you restrict your fluid down to that litre or 1500 mils, the good thing about it is that you retain all your salts, all your electrolytes. When you put on a bin bag, when you put on a ski suit, when you start hopping in salt baths or saunas, all them salts are coming out through your skin. And that is very, very dangerous.
So all the nutrients that you're eating and all the hard work that you're doing to put in, you're just sweating it back out. And I see it happening all the time. And I say to people, they're like, oh no, it's just grand, leave it. Mm-hmm.
But even if you put health aside, obviously we would never do that, but health aside, your performance in the ring, Paddy, I'm sure you could comment
on it. I've been there. And that's, when you were saying it yesterday, I've done that. I've water loaded. I took away the carbs for a week. I've cut 5 pounds in the back. I've done the 3 of them together.
Yeah.
And I know at 57 kilo when I was going out, I wasn't who I was at 61.
Yeah.
Like, I was undefeated at bantamweight, but I knew at 57 kilo, the only time I ever cut 57 kilo was for the UFC.
Yeah,
because that contract was there and you would do it. Can you make it? Yeah. Had I ever made it? No.
Yeah.
I made it though. But that's how it works.
Yeah.
And the idea is that sometimes you can rush your opportunity, I think, with it. You know what I mean? Like, you need to have the weight, and there's no point in being bigger than the guy and looking over at him and setting your mind up to, yeah, I'm bigger than him, if you have no energy. It's like having a bigger car. If you're getting somewhere, the micro is winning, you know what I mean? There's no fuel in the big lad.
It can slow you down, I'm sure, that's as well, if you're carrying dead weight.
A good thing, I think, for amateur fighters would be to look at a guy and be motivated that he is bigger.
Yeah.
They'd be motivated that you're more skillful and that you're a technician and that you're
I love that expression.
You know
technician.
What I mean? You're an animal to be able to undo what his frame is, rather than like, I'm bigger, so I'm going to hit him harder until he stops or he gets a little bit scared.
Body fat's not going to make you stronger.
No.
So before you start looking at weight cutting in terms of fluid restriction, in terms of reducing your fiber, think about, is my body fat optimal right now? Am I physiologically in the best possible shape I could be going into this fight?
That's the main thing. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether that's that cuts off the idea of you being bigger or smaller.
Exactly, that's more important. So that means every single pound that you have in that ring is useful. Yeah. Everything is moving you forward to what you want to achieve, rather than having dead weight or body fat in there that's going to slow you down.
That is what you want to do. A little thing on, I'll tell you a funny story as well at the end of it. Recovery. So when you do all of this, when you get through the weight cut, you've made weight, you've done the water loading, and then you're on the reloading. What Cranberry Berries, you were saying yesterday, what's one of the best things to be getting into your body? What should you be trying to do, and how fast? And
so the best things to get into your body,
liquids first or food first?
I think it's important not to jump onto the bandwagon of superfoods, because it's a term thrown around by marketing companies massively, because that's implying some foods are better than others. Some foods are higher in nutrients, yes, but the best food for you to have are ones that you can tolerate and ones that you enjoy, because you're more likely to sustain that, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Having carbohydrates after your training is extremely important, particularly if you've just made a weight cut. So if you want to be fully back with energy, fully recovered in the next 24 hours, let's think about how can we get you enough carbohydrates, and depending on how much you sweated or fluid restricted, your fluids back into your body, how can we do that as quickly as possible? How can we do it in a way that we don't feel bloated? And how can we do it in a way that's going to have us at our very best in that ring? In terms of glucose and fructose, a ratio of 2 to 1 in a supplement drink is very, very beneficial. It's
right after your weigh-in.
Right after your weigh-in. So in terms of maximizing your tolerance of carbohydrates, having up to 90 grams per hour can be achieved if you have a 2 to 1 ratio of glucose to fructose. That's a huge, huge benefit. Be careful though, because
And you can get both of them in a health food store, yeah?
You can,
or
like
or a supplement
High
store.
Five is one, for example. You can get supplements off that, for example, 2 to 1 ratio, and Nutrition X do them as well. But if you start throwing in lots of Lucozades or Powerades, which might not necessarily be at that ratio full of maltodextrin, or they're very high in sucrose, they might not be at that ratio.
And the sugar in them, does that spike your insulin, the sugar, if you're taking something too sugary, too complex?
It will have an increased production of insulin in your body if you have carbohydrates. But there's a lot of myths around that, again, about insulin sensitivity and how it can affect your ability to train and your recovery. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about that at the moment.
The kind of myths.
Yeah, I'd be more interested in how can I maximise my absorption of carbohydrate? It doesn't have to be with supplements either. If you want to do it through food, sweet potato soup with some smoked bacon blended into it gives you protein.
That sounded gorgeous when you said that yesterday.
It's class.
Doesn't that sound lovely? Here's a little story about my reload, yeah? In Dublin, coconut water. Here's something you should not do, right? Weighed in, googled a litre of coconut water.
Yeah.
Was on my way back over. And at this time, no one took pictures or anything with you because I hadn't even fought yet, but it made way. And yeah, I was on my way through the lobby, and all of a sudden I was like, yeah, go and get a picture with you. And it never happened. So I didn't dare for how long this took. Now, in the middle of all the photographs and a queue being there, this big rumble came into my stomach, right? And I was, uh-oh. And then I had this mad urge for a fart. Something told me in my life not to fart.
Yeah.
Right? So all of a sudden I'm trying to get through these photos and I'm waiting on a lift, and I'm in the middle waiting on the lift. People are getting photos and I just know is a fart going, let go for it. No, don't. Alright? And when I got into the room, my God, I was just spraying coconut water. I hadn't got nothing in me. It was just smooth coconut water.
Yeah.
And I was very lucky that I didn't let that go in that Gibson Hotel. Because Paddy Houlihan would have been remembered for a whole different situation on that card. Remember, you shit yourself in the lobby. Yeah, but remember, I done really well in the fight, no?
Remember that at all.
That's what it would have been. But if you're ever cutting, if you're ever reloading a game, reload on the toilet.
I love that. Because your body's been through the...
It's mad.
Everything, really. So you want to make sure that you do it slowly. You don't throw it all into it very, very quickly.
And put your body in the pan.
And you want to practice it as well. If it's good enough for competition, it's good enough for training. You want to make sure that you don't do anything that's off the cuff, something you haven't tried before, coming up to your big debut.
And for some reason, everyone wants to do that as well. You know what I mean? I've never done this protein thing, or they say pre-workout. Do you reckon I should use that?
Just try it now.
I don't think so. Yeah, just try it now when you're going into like a big, big fight. That's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've already took 2 of them. You're not fighting until 10 o'clock tonight. 3 o'clock. You know what I mean? We have Shane back as well. We reinstated him.
Delighted to be here, Paddy.
We reinstated him. He's been flying around the world chasing guys for...
Thanks for giving me the job back.
It was true, remember that you thought you got sacked. You really sacked Shane. I was getting messages off you.
I put in a good word for you.
Robin was like, I'm the man on this side of the room now. Tell the stars. I'm going down, Robin.
That was brilliant, though, Alex.
That's informative.
That was class. Like, I felt like I went to the wrong lecture by accident, but then just really liked it, so stay.
That's a good way of looking at it.
That was brilliant, though. No, that was excellent. Some really good stuff in there.
Robin does some round up here, right? And he gives a hammer a few of these questions, especially if you've got any. It could be Aunt Randy. It could be Batman's first time he bought a pair of pants. It
could be. Well, I'm not being tested on that, am I?
Oh, you might be. You might be.
Yeah. World War III.
Oh, here we go. Gosh, you got to mention that. You're going to have to.
It's like, do you know what I find is crazy about it all, is the way people are sort of reacting to it comically. Like, it's like nearly like this Netflix series that's coming soon.
It's mad.
And everyone's just talking about it on Twitter and social media and Instagram and all that, like just joking about it. But if it actually happens, like...
Here's a little funny story about that as well. Someone said some stories there. Was it like Putin said that? They tell the Americans to store their stuff or food and stuff like that were going to war, and then somebody having a different conversation at the reception and was like, and they said it 52 times, And I was like, so Putin said that we're going to war 52 times on the news. We just merged the conversation I did, but I was totally wrong. But supposedly, everyone's ready for it, you know what I mean? On the other side, Putin's ready for it, and Donald Trump, I think, is like, yeah, let's start. Yeah, where's my candy?
Right. Dive into it.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say he gets awful flack, but he does do a lot of thinking, and he makes all the decisions for his country and for himself.
I think he's a clever man.
He's a clever man. He's not stupid.
He's not. Like, if he's managed to get where he is now, he's managed to play on certain things in people's minds to actually get to where he is.
He knows how to wind people.
I don't agree with him and what he does, but I also think that he's clever to get where he is.
Now, the thing that did freak me out about this whole situation you're saying, the World War thing, is that Theresa May didn't address anybody, and Theresa May, like, you know what I mean? Don't even get me started. I'll only say bad things. Don't say anything if you don't have a nice to say. But the idea is that she made that decision on her own. She woke up and she had to make the decision, didn't consult with the English. I'm pretty sure Donald Trump made her on his own. You know what I mean? And I'm sure he dragged the French into it, rang a mate during the night and said, you know what, do you want to bomb Syria? And the three of these people, three psychopaths in my head, right? That's what they are, psychopaths. Decided to bomb another country and already foretold, put something in to make it okay, so the world was okay with this. And this is where I see it from, right? If three of us get into a car and we went down the road to break someone's legs or something, or bash them because, like, we knew that they done something wrong, but we didn't prove it, but we knew that they did something wrong. Does that make it right again? It doesn't make it right. Even that idea of, like, so there's three people there, it's not three countries, there's three people, it's not countries.
Yeah.
Are making decisions that affect the whole world and bombing people in the name of, you hold a passport, now all of a sudden it's your nationality attacking that country.
Yeah.
Syria, I seen photographs yesterday where the whole country was out to support the president. Crazy, you know what I mean? And they supposedly hate this evil, dictating monster that has looked after the country for 7 years and has had peace there. Now, I'm not saying that this guy Assad is a saint. I'm not saying people are like, how dare you pick up for that guy and all this? He's a scumbag. He's this, he's that. And I'm like they don't, you don't, you, how do you know? And here was the biggest thing I got. Do you not watch the news, Paddy? Yeah, I do. And obviously you do too, because all the answers that you're giving me are all the answers that they gave you.
I heard a great quote from that guy. What's the guy who plays the Alfred in Batman? The actor.
Michael Caine,
good man.
He's a good man. Oh,
big fan. He said something about war, about his dad went to war, and about how the people who start these wars and who dictate it and who make the plans and move forward are generally the people who are too old to actually partake themselves. So they're sending other people off rather than doing it themselves. So that always stuck with me pretty hard, the way that they're putting other people's lives in danger for the sake of what?
100. The idea, I think 100% I would say it's for gas this time in Russia, you know? I'd say for what? Bags of money, I think, you know what I mean? But the bad thing is, and it's an American, I won't say the American people, I'm not on a nationality, I'm not baiting on a nationality or anything, because I know there's loads, I know so many different people. But then again, let's be real, there is that guys that even the Americans know that are these, hoorah, yeah, let's go to war, let's go to take these guys out, yeah, gotta do more push-ups, gotta eat more protein. You're a muppet, and that's what I always say about them people. Like, them people, they don't look beyond their biceps, the idea, or whatever else they look into this stuff. They're saying to me, well, then how do you know? A little bit of research, a little bit of figuring out what happened in the past. Look back a few years when everyone ran into Iraq, and it was good to be attacking Iraq, and it was good to be going after Saddam and stuff like that. But it was not Bin Laden that supposedly attacked the country, but they're running after Saddam, and everyone's like, yeah, but he's the weapons of mass destruction. He's this, he's that. There's so many countries that have weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And they're not chasing them. And if now we're going, like, the world's going into a different country now, because this guy, for no reason, make no sense, where he has control of the region, the Americans had admitted that he had won that part of the war, had then just randomly dropped a chemical bomb on his people. Why? Makes no sense. It only give the Americans and the whole of the rest of the world an idea to be able to come in and invade your country. You give them everything they need to come into your country. It'd be like someone wanting you to hit them in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, if you hit, like, this Assad would have had to go, we don't care, and hit him in the face. But you know the guy that wants you to hit him? That's what America was during that time. And Russia, Russia had a news station now. It's very good. It's RT, it's called. Joe Rogan goes on about it all the time. We haven't heard him ever going on about it or anything like that, but I've heard about it. Seen a clip the other day, and it was. And if you can have a look at it, 2 weeks before this chemical attack happened, RT had a thing on saying that they had information that the Americans were going to, or no, that not won't say the Americans, apologise that, rebel groups had chemical weapons and they were going to use them against the Syrian people and blame Assad so the Americans and allies could launch missile attacks at Syria. This is 2 weeks before this attack even happened with the chemicals. 2 weeks ago, boy, bang, the chemical happens, that chemical attack happened. And then all of a sudden, a month or so goes, boy, and the UN are doing nothing. These guys are doing nothing. And it's like, they're like, why didn't they let the people into the country to survey it? Because you'd probably let them into your house and they'd plant something in your house and all of a sudden you're guilty. So I'm sure the Russians were kind of washing out for that as well. Like, we're not going to let you in to now plant evidence that there was a chemical attack that didn't happen with the chemical attack, because it'd be very hard to prove it.
I believe killing is killing.
Killing is killing.
Whatever way you look at it. And whether it be religion, whether it be over oil, whether it be over whatever reasons, killing is killing. And I don't think there's ever going to be a justifiable reason, in my opinion, to do it.
No, I reckon we go and we lynch them. We drag them out. Drag your man Trump out. Drag him over to Russia. Drag your man Putin out. Stick the two of them in an octagon and make them fight each other. And I guarantee it, right? The idea of them wanting to fight each other would change if it turned out that they had to face each other.
Put them in a cage, yeah.
That's it, and had a boxing match. Like, that's what they should do with these world leaders. You have a problem with another world leader. One of your things as a president should be, can you fight?
You know? Actually, I don't know if you've seen the tweets. What was the Obama's vice president? Can you think of his name off?
Biden.
Biden, I think him and Joe Biden. Trump and Biden were going at each other over Twitter about fighting each other.
Oh, he did.
And Trump was like saying, I'd kick your ass.
And the thing is, he ended up getting some marine to go in and do it for him. And that's the idea is that.
Like over Twitter saying he kicked someone's ass.
Oh. And do you know what else I got a lot of? And I won't even go into it, but that's mad, isn't it? Too, yeah. I'm going to kill you. When I see you, you better watch yourself.
Exactly,
you know what I mean? Two presidents, like.
How can you fly
and
like
he's going to go up on Mount Rushmore.
Like.
His man's going to go up on Mount Rushmore. That's it, you know? Yeah, no. Like, the idea of. When I'm at the losing me thing, I'm at the losing me head on it, you know what I mean? I was just about to finish off cracking line there. That was on a cracking line. But and anyway, the idea of that going down in Syria, I think people have to look into it a lot more. And before you say something about like how much of a scumbag that a lot of these guys are, you have to choose what's going on. And it's not that I won't say like, oh, you know more, you know this. I won't say that. The things that people are saying to me on when they were saying it back to me, I was like, You make no sense, you know what I mean? I don't mind if someone has a valid argument, but people killing people should just, that we were past that, we think, as humans, you know what I mean? We're going backwards if this case is that killing people to stop killing people, killing
yeah, I agree.
Makes no sense, you know what I mean? Doesn't. No. Rob,
you've class 12?
Yeah, I do.
So maybe
we'll shit. Yeah,
we'll just wrap
pass,
it up,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got to wrap this up.
No worries, buddy. I loved it.
No shame, episode 21. Anybody that's into the information that if you're eating no carbs for the rest of your life, good thing. If you like chocolate milk and you haven't been drinking it, good idea. Have a listen to the podcast and check it out. Absolute pleasure to have you here.
Right back at you, Paddy.
And it's good to be able to pass on some information and bounce it back and forward with you. But,
and I'm always interested in everyone else's opinion as well, not just like what I learned in the textbooks. You have to be able to listen to everyone's point of view, be open-minded, find out what works in the octagon, what works at the dinner table at home with six kids. What works for everyone.
If you want to shoot Alex a message and you have any kind of crate, now obviously ask him dietitian questions, not like what pants should I wear on a Wednesday. Do you know what I mean? Your handle is?
Handle is, so it's Alex Neilan on Instagram.
Neilan.
It's Neilan. And I'm also www.thesportdietitian.co.uk. You can find out more about me and what kind of services I can give you and how I can help you move towards whatever goals you may have.
Catch us the next time.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Cups are on the website now as well.
Oh, yeah. Just about to finish up there. Cups are on the website now. I've got about 100 messages about cups. Where do I have them cups? Yeah. Send us out one of them. If you need one, they're on the website. Yeah,
that we have. I'm sure a swipe up during the week, maybe.
Yeah, I'll do a swipe up during the week so there's a link straight to them. And then I'm going to do a competition maybe during the week or next week. Yeah.